Yeah, that's right. Flula, milkman, party times!
Live from San Luis Obispo, it's Hurricane and the Scroggs. I am JD Scroggin. He is the Hurricane, but you can call him Owen Main. Owen, say what's up.
JD Scroggin, how's it going?
It's going pretty good, man. But before we start on any of the, we have a plethora of topics to talk about today. But before we start on that,
a veritable cornucopia.
Yes, I wanted to address the elephant in the room, which is your AM radio voice, if you've ever listened to any of these fansmanship.com podcasts.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. I think you do know what I'm talking about. Exactly. You personified it.
I have no clue.
Yes. I am Owen Main, and you're listening to Radio Tradio on this fine Saturday morning. It always sounds like you just finished like raking the leaves.
Radio Fansmanship.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I'm going to plant a bed of flowers and cook a nice meal.
Yeah.
For the family.
Yes. Yeah. So are you aware that that's how you're talking?
Sometimes.
Is it natural?
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, so the thing is, when I can hear myself,
I
generally don't like the way that I sound. So I try to like lower it an octave sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Not like.
So that's how you're trying to do a deep voice.
No. I mean, so this is like my normal voice, but when I hear it too much, yeah, I like try to mellow out and I try to slow down.
Yeah.
And when I slow down, my voice gets a little bit smoother, maybe. I don't know. I wouldn't describe it smooth, but
So you're like
less irritating.
This is Hurricane Owen Main, but then when you're on the radio, you're like, this is Johnny Cash Owen Main.
Yo, yeah, yeah. Like Elvis, yeah. No,
well,
I don't know. Yeah.
I just wondered if we should address this.
I don't know. Are you saying it needs to change? I don't know that I'm understanding quite exactly.
I don't know. I don't know.
Because when you talk to me, I mean, I am kind of, my voice doesn't change too much, does it? I mean,
yeah, totally.
Is it way different?
Yeah, it's totally different. Like,
does
when
it just
you're
sound
just
different when
town?
It's recorded though? Like, no, right now I'm talking kind of in my normal voice right now, right?
All
right.
We're getting there. We're close. It's sounding a little more FM radio now.
If by my normal voice you mean stumbling over every third word, I try to avoid that.
Yeah. Well, interesting though. I've heard that people don't like the sound of their own voice. Two things on this.
This is definitely a true story.
Yeah. I have never encountered this, by the way, to the point where I don't want to hear my own voice. Sorry if that sounds pompous or arrogant.
It's fine.
But I've heard this, and I've also heard that if you want to know, like when you talk, you're not hearing what you're saying accurately.
Exactly, yeah.
So you don't even know what you sound like, and you're changing your voice.
But that's why I describe it as happening when I have headphones in.
Oh, okay.
Because when I have headphones in, I am getting that feedback on some level, right?
Well, I heard that if you talk and you plug one of your ears, then you'll actually hear what you really sound like.
Yeah, and you can hear.
That's how other people hear you. If you plug one of your ears and talk, that's how you'll hear how other people hear you.
Somewhat. If you're underwater, I think too.
If you're underwater,
then that's how other people hear you when you plug your
they
ears.
They sound like.
Yeah, I mean, if you try to plug your ears, I don't know.
Well, not plug both ears, just one of your ears.
Ooh.
One of your ears, and then you can hear it through the other ear.
Okay. There you go. New tip.
Yeah.
Pro tip.
Yeah.
Pro podcasting tip from JD Scroggin. Plug one of your ears.
You're the probe, dude. You've had over 100 fansmanship.com podcasts.
Yeah, and I've been here for all of them.
And you've been here for every single one.
Yeah, pretty intense. I mean,
that's how many hours put in already.
Yeah, I mean, just in the prep. And so if you think every podcast on average is probably like 45 to 60 minutes, let's call it an hour. That's 100 hours. And then you add on, you know, a half hour to try to set up that guest. And then if there's a guest, or try to set up Luke and Andy showing up at the same time in the same place. And then, you know, you talk about the post editing too, which is probably a half hour to an hour. You're talking
and the upload.
You're talking
and
2 or 3 hours.
And
per,
the talking.
2 or 3 hours per pod. And so.
The radio tradioing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's time. And what do they say? 10,000 hours means you either are going to be able to do it or not.
I saw something online too that refuted that idea.
Oh yeah,
actually.
What did it say?
It said that's bogus. So it was some scientist or something.
What was the number of? Was there another number of hours, or was it just that you're either good at it or you're not?
No, I think it was just the scientist coming out to refute that theory.
Because I keep hoping I'm going to get better, like by 10,000 hours.
Okay. Well, hey.
I'm hoping.
Well, let's start with non-AM radio voice, Owen Main. Just to bring the regular, there's a hurricane blowing through Owen Main. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't. So,
and then I'll be the one underwater.
So I want to know. I want to know from you though, because I know you were at you were on a trip last weekend.
Yes.
You got to visit Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Yes.
You flew into El Paso, I assume.
I did.
Yeah. Did you go through Dallas?
No, I flew direct from SLO to Phoenix.
Phoenix to El Paso.
To El Paso.
Nice.
And then I actually stayed in El Paso, but I drove to Las Cruces for the game.
So it's like an hour, hour and a half.
The drive?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was probably 50 minutes, I would say. Yeah. Maybe an hour. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I wasn't charting it necessarily. I want to make sure I get there with plenty of time, so.
I spent a night in Las Cruces on my way moving to Florida. We drove from San Diego to Las Cruces
okay.
on the first day. It was a four-day journey. I don't really remember it. It was a long day. The San Diego to Las Cruces haul, I think we got in at probably like 9 at night, and then we left at like 7 the next morning.
So. Oh, okay. So you just saw it in the dead of night.
The next day was Las Cruces there. To San Antonio, and that was really a long drive too, like all the way across West Texas.
Uh-huh.
And then you spend half the next day in Texas as well, San Antonio to New Orleans, and then New Orleans down to Florida, where I ended up for a couple of years there. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. What did you think of the town?
You did
the town?
Grand tour of the... Of the South, I guess.
Drove I-10, man. Interstate 10 will get you to Florida eventually. So how did you like Las Cruces? Like, what was the vibe?
Well, I got to say this, and maybe this is a good segue, but, you know, I don't know, people may or may not know this about me, but I am half Mexican. My mom is Mexican.
And if you've listened to the Fansmanship podcast, you probably might know that.
Maybe.
If you listen to the UCSB Cal Poly pregame podcast that I did with you.
And if you exist in this universe, you'll probably never know it, because I don't know that anyone's going to be listening to our second podcast ever at this point.
Maybe someday somebody will go deep into the archives.
Yeah, if you are listening, my mom is Mexican, so it's Scroggs. Scroggin is my dad's name, so that's not Mexican, obviously.
Nope.
I think that's actually like a British origin, that name. But anyways, so I've been to Mexico a few times, but it's always been like the vacation-y type, like Cancun kind of place.
Right.
This was like, I felt like this was the closest I've ever been. Like going to El Paso was like the closest I've ever been to like real Mexico, which is crazy because like, you know, I don't think I've ever really had like real Mexican food like from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
You know, but really? I'm used to Californian Mexican food, and
even
that's
like
a
San Diego.
Way. And I'm used to like, no, I haven't okay. had any Mexican in San Diego.
Okay.
So I'm used to what my family cooks, my mom, my grandma, you know, whatever, or whatever's around in restaurants. Yeah. And so I was really eager being in Las Cruces, which I know is New Mexico. I don't know, you know, I don't know if I qualify as an old Mexican. I guess I do, or a new Mexican. I'm not New Mexican.
No, because you don't have any family from New Mexico.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, anyways, I had to stop at a Mexican restaurant. So I got to Las Cruces a few hours early before the game, and I went around looking online to see if I could look at Yelp reviews and find a Mexican food place. And this is what I do. I don't know what you do, but I got to just preface this by telling you.
I know one thing that you do when you go to places.
What's that?
You look for comic book stores.
Yes. We can talk about that too if you want. We can do a little segment on comic bookiness in this whole podcast.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We'll save that for later. But okay. So every time I go to a Mexican food restaurant, and my wife knows this, if I've never been there before, I order enchiladas. That's the first thing I order if I've ever been somewhere.
Chicken, cheese, beef? What are you going with?
I like chicken. Is okay. I can settle for chicken, but I usually go with pork or beef just because I feel like those are like the more, you're getting more bang for your buck money wise. If they're the same as cost as chicken, the pork or beef is probably more, you know, you're getting more for your money.
You like it more better.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I'll go with carnitas or shredded beef or whatever. So anyways, but long story short, I always get enchiladas because enchiladas tells me, is this Mexican food place going to be good, or it might be good? But if they have bad enchiladas, it's definitely not going to be good. Like, I'm not going to be coming back. So I went to New Mexico. I got enchiladas. And it was weird because New Mexican enchiladas, and I didn't know this, and this is not how it is as far as I know in Mexico or in California, they were flat enchiladas. So it was a tortilla laid flat, like dipped in chile sauce. Like, that's what enchiladas means. It means en chile. So like they dip the tortilla in the chili and then they put it down, and then they put cheese and meat and then another tortilla on top of it and a little bit more cheese and a little bit more meat. It was like a lasagna. It was like enchilasagna.
And were there many layers? Were there like 5-6 layers of this? Or is it just two?
No, it was just two. I had two enchiladas, so it was two layers of two tacos.
It was almost like a quesadilla, but like a wet quesadilla enchilada.
Kind of, I guess. With that beef makes, in it. If that's how it makes sense to you. If that's like what it sounds like to you, then yeah.
It's like, you know, you can picture a tortilla laid flat, a circle, the stuff on top, and then another tortilla on top of that.
Yes.
And then is there like sauce on top of everything? Yeah. Is it super wet enchilada, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'd never had it flat like that before, so I was like, "What is this?"
They're always rolled up in a single tortilla, usually.
Yeah.
They're rolled
usually
up.
Rolled or folded in half.
Right, or folded. Yeah. Okay.
I've never had a flat, yeah. And apparently this is a New Mexican thing. I feel like I should have done more research, like ask the guy. Like,
so yeah,
is this how you do it in New Mexico or like West or West Texas? Maybe it might be a West Texas thing.
New Mexico, Colorado, those places, and in northern, you know, eastern Arizona and southern Arizona too. I think they all have kind of their own like subculture in terms of food. When I lived in Pueblo, the Mexican food there was just amazing, but it's not like other Mexican food I've had other places either. So the cultural thing in Pueblo, and it might be the same in Las Cruces, I would imagine, is that you have like a lot of old heritage there. So like Pueblo was the line of demarcation between the U.S. and Mexico for a while there. The Arkansas River was the difference maker until there was a war, and it was the Spanish-American War. I don't even know. But there was a war at some point that the U.S. gained more territory. But, you know, the
people took it from my people.
The families in Pueblo have been living there for, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 generations or whatever, you know, in some cases. And so you're going to get, you know, traditions and culturally it's a different type of food, I'm sure, than you'd find in Monterey or Mexico or, you know, Mexico City or whatever too. But for my money, that Mexican food in Southern Colorado is pretty awesome for me.
Yeah. Thank you for joining PBS.
Did I go down to it?
Historical radio.
Come on. Really? Did I?
Just during the historical stuff. Huh. So maybe I am more old Mexican because I fold my enchiladas or roll them, and that's how they do in Mexico. Maybe these new Mexicans, you know, they get up in the mountains and stuff, and they, you know, because we're more tropical.
Was the elevation
Mexicans.
In Las, was there elevation in Las Cruces?
Not in Las Cruces, but yeah. I guess once you get up like toward Albuquerque and Colorado, like places you're talking about, maybe you get
Pueblo
the
is like
new Mexicans go up in the altitude and they just decide not to fold their tortillas anymore, I guess.
Fair enough. New Mexico has some ski resorts and stuff too. Yeah.
Yeah,
why not?
Definitely, it was, I will say this though.
Would you go back?
I want to try some other stuff because it was really weird. It was different. And I, for the most part, I felt like it was a lot spicier too, which probably, you know, it didn't bother me at all, but I could see maybe someone who's used to going to restaurants, you know, here in San Luis going over there and getting, you know, something and not realizing that it was going to be a lot spicier.
Like me?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you like spicy food?
I don't like my food too spicy. I'm a mild. I go mild.
Yeah.
Most of the time, mild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no shame in that, I guess.
I'm pretty weak sauce when it comes to my taste buds. I had something the other night. I'm trying to picture exactly what it was. Oh, it was like the spicy tuna roll.
Oh,
yes. You know,
those can be
sushi.
Quite spicy.
Yeah. They had a little kick to them. But what I enjoyed about it, and I just had one or two, and then I was like, maybe not, because I didn't think the spiciness was going to go away. I thought my tongue would be like damaged for the night, because that's what I don't like. I don't like it when I eat something and I can still feel it, you know, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later.
Yeah.
I don't mind feeling it right now in the moment, like feeling spiciness, but if I can't taste something 10 or 15 minutes later, then that's not good. So, that was a little intense, but it did go away. So I'm okay with that part of it.
Well,
yeah. As long as it eventually goes away.
I'll do the spicy until I start sweating. Then I'm like, okay, this is getting a bit much. You know, I'm sweating.
Yeah. And you did that pregame.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't sweating at this place,
but
that's
go
my
eat
threshold.
At a brand new restaurant pregame is kind of a, it's always a roll of the dice.
Oh, because you think I might get the runs, and then I would have to. I would miss part. I'd miss part of the game because I'm in the bathroom.
I'm just saying, especially if you eat a lot, like, you know, you never know.
I have a strong stomach, though, dude. It's totally mind over matter.
Okay.
Like, there are some members of my family. I'm not going to say names. That are very worried about having to use the toilet to go number two.
About making a run to the facilities?
Yeah. And to me, it's like, just hold it. You know what I mean? Like, that, like, there's some family members who worry about the number two coming out in their undies. And and to me, I just feel like, just hold it in there.
And this podcast has reached a new low.
I'd say just hold it in there. You know what I mean? Like just tell your mind, I'm going to close my buns hole and nothing is going to come out. It's like the Lord of the Rings. You remember Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring? You know, yes. Gandalf is like, you shall not pass.
Yeah.
That's what my brain tells my my lower end.
Yeah, fair enough. And if so you can do it.
Yeah, no, everyone can do it. I think everyone can do it.
Mind over matter. Deepak Chopra could probably do it too.
Yeah, I think everyone can do it.
Mind-body connection.
It's totally psychological. Like, all you got to do is just say no. Say no
just
to
say
number
no.
two.
Okay.
And then hold it in.
Yeah, yeah.
There's been plenty of football games where I've been up there in the fourth quarter and I have to go.
And then
go.
You got
to
go do an interview.
Yeah, and I'm not even close to being done with work for the night because I got to finish watching the game. I got to go do interviews. I got to write my story, which takes at least an hour. So, like, there's no chance.
You know you got 2.5 hours before.
Before I'm even going to have a chance to go number two.
I've been on an airplane in similar circumstances. I don't really like to try to do that.
You just hold it in, man. You'll be fine.
Yeah, there you go.
It's not like it's going to come out of your mouth. You know, like, it's not like it has to go somewhere.
South Park? Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's not like it has to go somewhere. Like, you'll hold it in. Okay. You'll be okay.
Okay. Fair
Anyways, enough. That's my
thoughts. So Las Cruces.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this first before we go to Las Cruces. What do you like to order when you go to a Mexican food place?
I actually get enchiladas. And it's funny you mentioned enchiladas because
enchiladas.
Enchiladas.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
I went to a restaurant with one of my friends one time and I say enchiladas with a little bit of an accent.
With a lot of an accent. Well, like one of those reporters in LA who you're not sure if they're like,
and they it do doesn't their matter. Normal, they do their normal non-regional diction until they hit a Hispanic word. They go straight Spanish pronunciation to the hardcore.
Yeah. But her last name's like an Asian last name. So you're not quite sure what's going on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, some of those reporters are, kind of hard to pin down.
Well, I say enchiladas
with
a little bit of
an
accent.
You do.
And one of my friends in college, I went and ordered enchiladas, and my friend was like, oh, I'm going to be just like him. He says it good. I'm going to try and say it good. And he said, he goes, I'll have the enchiladas.
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 Awesome. Awesome. So
anyways, so you get enchiladas as well when you go to Mexico.
I do. My parents actually made homemade enchiladas the other night.
Nice. Yesterday.
Yeah, that I had at their house. Nice. So it's funny you should mention it. It was a little bit different.
So the Hurricane Maine family has some Mexican in them?
No.
Is what you're saying?
No. My dad just likes to cook. And my mom does too. But my dad likes to try new random stuff. So he'll make enchiladas that are really good. But the other night he it was kind of like green enchiladas. There was like green sauce on it instead of like red. So depends on where you are or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And the green sauce was super tasty. And he put it just inside the tortillas before he did everything. He put just like a couple thin slices of Velveeta.
Oh, okay.
Inside the tortilla.
Uh-huh.
So it was a little different. I mean,
he Americanized it.
There's nothing more white boy than Velveeta. But
yeah.
But it was like a little bit of cheesy. It was a little bit good that way. And then that was the cheese in it. And then it had chicken and some
that
other stuff.
That sounds really good. Man.
And the beans and the rice were inside the enchilada instead of being in separate pools on the outside.
Sure.
You go to a restaurant and they're in like two little.
It was like a burrito.
Two little reservoirs.
With chile on top.
Yeah, you could have called it a wet burrito, but he called it an enchilada.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, hey, I have to say this too. You mentioned the sauce. I'm used to the green sauce being the hotter one. I feel like when I ordered the enchiladas in New Mexico, in Las Cruces, the red was the hotter.
Yeah, they're not afraid. They don't mess around. Or maybe the green was just like ridiculous.
Well, they put out two things of salsa
with
the
both?
Chips.
Yeah.
They had two things of salsa with the chips. They had a red one and a green one. And since I'm used to the red one being milder, I tried that one first because I wanted to taste it. I didn't want to burn my tongue and then
burn your tongue.
Not be able to taste the next one. Well, I tasted the red one and I'm like, man, if their red is this hot, I wonder how hot the green is. So then I tasted the green and it was mild.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
So maybe they just reversed it. I don't know. They grow different chiles.
Yeah. They're big on, at least in Pueblo, which is, same region, I guess, technically. They would have every restaurant had its own chili that, and that was the salsa that you, whatever you dipped your chips in, and everyone had its own, and everyone like everybody in town had their own favorite and it was all different. So, you know, there were probably like five really great Mexican restaurants around and everybody liked this one or that one or mm-hmm. whatever. So yeah, that's good times. So you also went to, while you were in Las Cruces, I do want to ask you about comic books too, because I know that's that's yes. a common thing. And maybe some people who might be listening might like comic books too. So I'm interested.
Yeah. Well, break down the barrier. People don't know this about me too. Another thing. Yes, I am soy Chicano. And also I am a big comic book geek.
Eres un comic book geek.
Sí.
Yeah. So tell me about how would you rate the Las Cruces comic book scene?
I told you I stayed in El Paso.
Where'd you go to El Paso?
I stayed in El Paso. Okay. So I wasn't in Las Cruces with any downtime really.
And in El Paso, you can see to Mexico. Like it is, you're driving on I-10 and you come over a hill and you're like, oh, there's Mexico across the river over there.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty quick. It's pretty close.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I was said earlier.
And
that
the lights
I felt
are a different color. And yeah,
that's why I said I felt like I was in Mexico. Cause I remember the exact part you're talking about. I drove through there and the architecture is so different. You're all of a sudden here's like houses and architecture I'm used to seeing. Then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, this looks like something out of like a movie.
Is it Ciudad Juarez? Is that like, what's across?
I think so. Yeah. And you're like, this looks like a scene out of a movie set in Mexico. You know what I mean? Like the buildings are different. The neighborhoods look different.
Right.
Yeah, totally. I understand exactly what you're talking about. I drove right through there.
Yep. So rate the El Paso comic book scene then.
There was a lot of comic book stores.
There were a number of stores.
There was a lot to choose from.
Because it's a big city. There's a couple hundred thousand at least in El Paso, I think.
I don't know. I don't want to send any misinformation out there, but
you got your tablet.
Yeah. I don't want to do hardcore research.
All right.
Man.
Fair enough. Just tell me about it. You can hand me the tablet.
Let's see. El Paso.
Well, we have this interlude. I'd like to remind you that someday you'll be able to find this podcast on iTunes. Not yet, though. So for now, you have to come to fansmanship.com to find it.
All right. Yeah. Well, ooh, man. It's almost 700,000. Yeah. Actually. That's way more than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. It's a big place.
672,538, according to the 2012 census.
Which would match for you saying there's a lot of comic book shops. So you have visited just one or did
more
you visit
than,
a few?
Oh, I just went to one. This is what I like to do. Well, hold on. Before I tell you, I'll give you my impressions of the scene because there was a lot of shops there. This is what I do when I go out of town to any new town, whether it be on vacation or whether it be to, a Cal Poly football game or basketball game or baseball or whatever. If I go to a new town, I try to look online and find the best or most interesting comic book store in the area and then go visit it and see what that store is like, what the people are like who go in and out of there, what the owners are like, what kind of merchandise they sell, how it's different from our shops here. Because here in San Luis, it's kind of interesting. We have two comic book stores. They're both in downtown SLO. They're like two blocks away.
Dr. Kane's and Cheap Thrills?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's not another one for like 150 miles in any direction. Like,
right. You got to go to Fresno, Baco, Santa Barbara, or Salinas. Salinas probably doesn't have one. Probably San Jose.
Yeah. So there's like these two shops right next to each other and then nothing for miles. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic here, first of all. So I'm always interested to see how other places do it. So I've been to some really cool shops. I've been to shops like everywhere I've been for Cal Poly football. Like I'm putting this out there also about me. You might not know. I'm probably more into on my off time. I'm probably more into comics and stuff like that than I am into actual sports because I get so much sports during my work hours.
You're telling me you don't just sit at home and watch NFL all day on Sunday?
I can watch the Niners. I'm a big Niners fan, but I don't think I could watch much other football.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, or if most other sports for that matter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just...
You I'd get rather, enough of it.
Yeah, I get so much of it, at work.
And you're paid to know about it at this level, and so, yeah.
Yeah. So I spend a lot of time reading comics. So I've been to great shops in, like, Portland, St. Louis.
That's right. You were up at Portland State last year?
Yeah. I was in St. Louis for the NCAA tournament. I found a spot there.
Yeah.
The Portland shop was really cool because I was in Portland at the shop that I found there before the football game. And I was talking to the owners and telling them where I'm from. And I try to, like, get a sense of the people and what they're like there.
Yeah.
And somebody in the store heard me talking about where I was from and came over and he's like, hey, I'm from Pismo Beach. And it was some guy who had grown up in San Luis and Pismo area who had relocated to Portland and was going to that shop all the time. And I was like, oh, cool. You know,
so they knew Cheap Thrills. They knew.
He knew the local shops because he said when he came back on vacation that he went to those places.
But. Okay. So as far as like this place that you went.
Let me tell you. I look online and I try and find like where's the best place. And so I look at the Yelp reviews and the Google reviews and those kind of things.
Because you want to get a good sampling. You don't want to just get this place that's maybe a fly-by-night place that just tried to open up. And
well, I want to get is a different experience as much as I can. So I don't just go for like what's the highest rated or whatever, most popular or whatever. I try to like what's something that I can see that I haven't seen before. And in El Paso, I found a new shop that had just been open for about 10 months. And it was run by two women. Which was really interesting to me because I'd never been to a shop owned by women. And, you know, you go to most comic book type, you know, stores and there's not really a lot of women who are around.
So it's not the store from Big Bang Theory?
No.
Have you seen some of the scenes in Big Bang Theory when they go into stores?
No. What's going on in Big Bang Theory? Tell me.
Yeah.
Fill me in.
They're all comic book geeks, of course. Right?
I have seen the show and I have seen them in the store.
Okay. So you have.
But I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, there's just all guys in there.
Oh, yeah,
so
pretty much. That's the scene.
When the hot girl comes in, all the guys just, like, stop whatever they're doing, and they're just staring, and everybody, like, everything just stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the hustle and bustle of the comic book store, and it's probably, like, a ridiculously large comic book store in comparison to what actual ones probably are, but it's this, like, it's probably, like, what the set that they used to use for video stores, and they can't use those anymore, so they just use it for the Big Bang Theory comic book
stores. There's some big
ones,
though. There's some big stores.
Okay, all right, But like, you know, there'll be like 20 guys in there and they'll all just stop and look and pause. And it's always kind of a funny moment. And
yeah.
The comic book owner goes, you know, don't make me have to get out the hose or whatever, you know, because, you know, the comic book stereotypes, the comic book people stereotypes, all guys and
geeks
and whatever.
Lames.
Right.
Can't get a girl.
Right. All that.
Ugly.
All those stereotypes are met in that show. So it's always funny when they break that, you know, when the girls go out and get comics one time and it's this big funny thing. At any rate, this one was all women owned, so it's got to be a little bit interesting.
Two women. They had opened the store. It's been open for about 10 months,
yep.
And I was looking at the reviews, and I'm like, "Oh, this place looks cool. It looked real kid friendly," and I was like, "I'd never been to a female owned shop before, so I'll go check it out." It was called Black Sheep Comics. So if you're in the El Paso area, I would say check it out. It was pretty interesting because I've never seen a shop like this before. It's basically that these women run it kind of in their free time and their part time. They both have regular full time jobs, so they're only open on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the weekend.
Nice.
And they're renting space out of the front of an embroidery shop. So like the signage isn't even, you know, like the big. It's kind of like a hole in the wall. It's like the comic book store you could see if like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives did like a comic book version.
Yeah.
It was like a dive kind of comic store, but it was cool because it felt like they really cared about what they were doing, and they had ideas of how they wanted their shop to be run. They were very specific and precise. And the thing that I took back from it was that they really had a genuine love for the medium and what they were doing, which was cool. So that's why they opened the shop. They said that they had gone to other places and they'd felt discrimination or whatever, so they wanted to open their own place so they could have it and be like, this is how comics should be.
Right.
So it was really cool. It was a treat to go and see. So
right. So that's cool, and there's probably what, like 5 or 6 shops in El Paso that you saw on Yelp on some
at
level.
At least, yeah. I feel like.
And so these guys were like, I'm picturing like a small area. I'm picturing you could kind of go in and there's one person behind the counter and it's one of these ladies. And
They were both there. Yeah,
okay.
And I was chatting them up and they had a few regular customers come in while I was there. So it was interesting. It was cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool when you can see brick and mortar places on any kind of like small mom and pop brick and mortar place, you know, that's successful or that's, you know, out there. It's kind of a cool cultural thing. I don't know how else to describe it. Camera shops are the same, you know, a really similar thing. And those are going really quickly because cameras are really high-end stuff that people buy online more and more.
Yeah.
But comic books, you know, actually going to the shop probably has additional value, you know, to people.
Yeah, it's a social thing, too. You get to talk to people. You talk about the storylines.
Right.
It's like, you know, like, let's say it's similar to watching, like, episodic TV. Like, so if you like Game of Thrones.
If you're into a show.
Yeah, if you like Game of Thrones or if you like The Walking Dead, and then you also watch The Talking Dead or you go on chat rooms or, you know, message boards or those kind of things and you talk about the show. The comic book store is kind of like the place where you could do that, like, in person. You know, talk about your episodic comics that you are enjoying or you're watching or you're looking at or whatever.
Yeah, I could picture that. I could picture that for sure. Yeah, cool.
So, no good segue from that into anything else, but
yeah,
was there anything else you wanted to talk
about?
Well,
yeah, I kind of wanted to ask you because I haven't got a chance to talk to you about it, and listen, if you want to hear JD's like game story from Las Cruces,
You want to talk some sports? Well, let's do it.
I want to hear about the I want to hear about the stadium. I want to hear about like the New Mexico State thing, because New Mexico State's a perennial bottom dweller in terms of their conference, in terms of their record anyway. And I picture the size of like the campus and the size of the potential football faithful in Las Cruces to maybe be similar to like maybe at their best they hope to be kind of like Fresno State. I'm sure the stadium wasn't quite as big as the stadium at Fresno State, but what kind of comparisons can you make in terms of them being a D1 school and like the fan experience there in Las Cruces? Because honestly, like, you could go to college football games for 13 weeks every year and not see all the stadiums you wanted to, right? I was thinking about this the other day. Yeah. Like, you could go to college football games, you know, you could even space them out and go to the Friday night games and then go to Saturday games if that was your only job during that time. And you still, it would take you, you know, 3 years to get through the SEC stadiums only. I mean, you really just can't see them all. And so you got to kind of pick and choose. But I always wonder about these places like New Mexico State that's not really a destination, but that, you know, it's still D1 football, or it's still, you know, FCS football. So, or FBS football, excuse me.
Yeah.
So what was the
FBS?
What was the stadium like?
It was cool. It was kind of like, I don't know if it's fortunate or if it's just good planning or whatever, but it's about a 30,000 plus seat stadium. And the one half of it was carved out of a hill, which I think is fortunate because it cuts down on construction costs. So that's probably the strategy with that, because you just kind of you don't have to build.
I feel like Cal is like that.
Maybe you don't have to build a big, you know, exoskeleton with, you know, to support the stadium. You just built it in the side of the hill.
Maybe some foundations drilled in, but beyond that.
Yeah. So it seems really cost effective, and it was huge, especially compared to what, you know, Cal Poly has. So
was it like kind of like Colorado State?
Similar, yeah. Okay. But Colorado State, you know, they had, didn't they have on the press box side like big, you know, like concrete,
like suites?
No. I mean, they had like on the press box side, it was built up with like concrete.
Yeah,
pillars
yeah. It wasn't
stuff.
Into
it wasn't
a
like
wall.
Built
no,
into
no. But
a...
I mean, size wise and like the shape wise, I saw
yeah,
it on TV
it was
and
a
I kind of thought of it.
It was a dual side, or maybe like a bowl kind of, but it wasn't bowl all the way around.
Okay.
They had on one side, they had luxury suites built over a field house. And on the other side, they had the video scoreboard.
Okay.
And it wasn't like super fancy, but it did the trick, and it was a lot of seats, which, I mean, I was impressed. You know, I don't know what the, you know, the fan base is for New Mexico State, because even when I was driving from El Paso to Las Cruces, there was a billboard advertising New Mexico football, and it was for UNM, Lobos.
The Lobos,
and it wasn't for New Mexico State, right. Even though I was driving into Las Cruces.
Sure.
So I don't know what the fan base is like there, but I was pretty impressed with the size of the stadium. If not the turnout, but the size of the stadium, and that they the facility that they did have, because it could support a lot more than
theoretically
they have
if,
now.
If they ever got good.
Yeah, and the problem with Cal Poly is theoretically if they ever got good, there's nowhere to add seats really in the current location where they're at. Like easily
Spanos.
Like there's no way to cheaply add seats is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Whereas if you look at a place like UC Davis, where they built it kind of into the ground, like up against a hill, kind of. This is similar. UC Davis is kind of similar to what New Mexico State reminded me of.
Okay.
They have room to build up and out. Whereas Cal Poly, part of the reason Cal Poly's stadium expansion isn't happening is because it would be super expensive to build up and out, because they would have to redo the whole thing. You know what I mean? It would take a lot of money.
And the Spanos side, you know, the new side of Spanos Stadium is like, you know, brand new still, you know, just about. It's less than 10 years old or 10 years old or so now at this point.
2006, I think it opened.
Okay, so almost 10. And so, you know, the idea is that maybe you do the other side, but that's over a street. And so just like the current side, they'd have to build it over a street with structures like that. And even then, you're probably losing seats when you build up, because the old seating arrangement is just straight up bleachers, like pack them in when the UCSB soccer game comes around and they pack them in up there. There's, I would guess, almost twice as many people on the old side as there are on the new side. So when you build a new side, you have to have better ADA compliance. You have to have all kinds of things that are happening. You know, you can't be as steep. You can't be, you know, all the, you know, all kinds of stuff. So you actually start to maybe lose seats once you do that. You know, I happen to be of the, you know, thought that, you know, a full stadium is better than a not full stadium. So if you get 8,000 fans, then, you know, have an 8,000 fan you know, gym.
Sure.
I thought Mott Athletic Center last year was a great venue for basketball, even though like there's only 2,000, maybe 2,500 people in there on, you know, if that on most games, but it seems full and it seems like, you know, an atmosphere that you want to be in. Empty seats don't do anybody any good.
Yeah. Well, at New Mexico State, right, on the opposite side, because I was on the press box side, people bought their seats. You can tell where they were sitting and they were kind of spread out. And then I didn't see it happening, but somebody must have came and told them to move, because throughout during the first quarter, the people who were all spread out kind of moved towards the center. So I imagine there were people in the stands probably saying like, move in.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it looks, and the angles they were trying to get from the cameras. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So, but this is also interesting.
Uh-huh.
I was going to say cool, but it's probably not cool. It's weird. let's see what you think about it.
Uh-huh.
So anyways, before the game, I'm up there in the press box and this old guy comes up and like taps me on the shoulder and he's like, you guys got to get out of here. It's like this old dude and he's dressed in like state trooper type like formal wear with like the hat and like the tie and jacket with like medals and stuff, and he's like, you guys got to get out of here, we're going to sweep for drugs. So they brought a drug dog into the press box like an hour or so before the game, evacuated okay, everyone out of the press box,
shut
and
up.
Then brought a drug sniffing dog in there to sniff through. And so we're out of everyone out of the press. We're standing out there for like 10 minutes.
Did you take your backpack with you?
I didn't take anything. I didn't even take my cell phone. Like he's just like, go. Like it was like immediate. It was like, you gotta go now. Like, oh, you know, there's drugs. There's the bomb. We gotta get out of here. Get out of now. You know. So
that is really weird.
Yeah. So anyway,
the working media is like having drug deals.
I think it was kind of just they do that every game. It struck me as like, here's this old trooper.
It wasn't
guy.
Just the Cal Poly media.
No. Everyone had to get out of the press box. And here's what struck me as like, here's this old trooper guy retired. You know, they're like, oh, well, he wants to do something. We'll let him feel useful and do a bomb sweep or whatever. So when, you know, whatever. Well, this is what makes it more interesting is after that, I went in and I got my tree, retrieved my phone, and there was a friend of mine who was coming to the game who went to Cal Poly, who now lives in Albuquerque. He was traveling there with some friends.
Okay.
And so he's like, hey, come down and meet me, you know, whatever, before the game. So I did. I went down there. I saw him, met him outside the stadium, and we're walking into the stadium. We're talking, and we're talking about Cal Poly, and we're talking about New Mexico State and the game and what's going on and what's going on with the program. And we just walked straight in and walked in. Nobody took their tickets. Nobody checked my press pass. No, we could have been anybody and just walked in for free.
But you did have a press pass on. Looked like you knew what you were doing.
I had it, but I didn't bring my lanyard. I thought I did, but it wasn't in my bag.
So you just had it on your belt loop?
I clipped the press pass to my pants, so you couldn't really see it clearly. It wasn't like it was prominently displayed.
But you guys acted like you knew where you were going and what
you were doing. No, we just walked in, right, and there was nobody at the gate. There was nobody taking tickets.
The gate was empty.
There was nobody taking tickets or anything. We just straight walked in.
God, that is so weird.
Well, compound that with the fact that they were sniffing for bombs in the press box, yet they're just letting anybody walk in without any kind of...
Like no bag check,
no, no bag check, not even a ticket check.
Ugh.
So we straight up walked in. I'm like, what is this? We walked in, we got in like maybe 10 steps before my friend said, hey, they didn't even take our tickets.
And you're like, whatever, let's like, just keep going.
Whatever, yeah. I didn't care. We were already in.
He didn't care either. Yeah.
Yeah, they had tickets. They
just, so they could have showed them.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. And so, then the next day flying home, did you hear about this?
Uh-uh.
The next day flying home, I was in line for the airport, and they put me in the line, like the expedited line. So you know the line you go to.
The pre-check line?
Yeah. You know the line you go to where you take off your shoes and you take your laptop out of your bag. That's the line that everyone goes through.
Unless you're pre-check. So did you do pre-check?
I did not do pre-check.
But
when I got to the front of the line to make it go faster, they just started putting people in the pre-check line because the other line was full.
Sure.
So they go, here, just go in this one. Well, in the pre-check line, you don't take your laptop out.
You don't take your shoes off.
Right. Mm-hmm. You don't do any of that stuff. So I was like, what is... I've never done this before.
It's awesome.
Well, I was starting to think it was awesome. And then I went through and the thing beeped.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, well, what is that? I didn't have any metal on me. I was like, oh, maybe I had my watch on. Maybe I should take off my watch. And the lady's like, no, stand to the side over here. And some guy comes over and he's like, sorry, you tested for a bomb. Or not bomb, but he's like, you tested for explosive residue. And I'm like, what? So he gets this little thing, you know, like he's holding like a little spatula type thing, and he rubs it on my shoes and goes and puts it in some machine.
Right.
And is like testing it with the computer. And then after a few minutes, he's like, yep, it's testing positive for bomb residue.
Oh, God.
Or not explosive residue. Sorry. Oh, I don't think they're allowed to say bomb, but like explosive residue. I'm like, what?
Take that sitting down.
Well, no, I didn't. I wasn't acting like a jerk. Okay. I wasn't going to make it worse. But he's like, come over here and stand. The worst thing about it was,
though.
So
they pat you down? What'd they do?
Well, the worst thing about it was because I tested for residue, they sent my laptop case through the metal detector a second time. But they unzipped all of the pouches.
Before they sent it
before
through.
Before they sent it through. So because they were rifling
through. So all the stuff falls out.
Before they were. Well, I didn't. Unbeknownst to me. They just said, we're going to run your bag through again. I'm like, oh, okay. But as the one person is saying, we're going to run your bag through again, the other person is saying, oh, come over here, sir. You need to come over here right now.
Right.
And I'm like, well, I'm waiting for my bag. No, come over here right,
right.
now. So I couldn't watch them send
they
it
through.
They
don't give again. A crap.
No. They open the pouches, unzip everything, rifle through everything, and then put it through the metal detector
again. Without zipping them back up.
Without zipping them back up. And meanwhile, I'm back over with the guy around the corner, and he's like looking at my other stuff, and he's doing the test on the computer of the residue.
Can I just say really quick?
Yeah, go
TSA
ahead.
TSA agents, and I have a few that are like my friends in San Luis, like one guy I went to high school with, but...
I'm guessing you didn't go to college with him.
No, but they can use the word sir more condescendingly than any other person in the whole world. Sir, come over here, please. Like, it's like they may as well just be giving you like an imaginary middle finger.
Totally.
Yeah. So I'm sorry. It
was like sir, but it sounded like jerk.
Yeah. Right.
Cirque.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's yeah, exactly. So keep going. So
the
your
guy
stuff
pulls me over. And he's like, "Sir, come over here." Right. Then you know, after a few, couple minutes, they bring my bag over that they had sent through the metal detector a second time, and they're like, "Oh, okay, there's my bag. All right, we've got it." So he's going through my suitcase to look at everything that's in there first.
Because you had a carry on.
Yeah, I had a carry on and I had a laptop case. So he's going through that and, you know, whatever. Then, like, a couple minutes later, somebody yells, Joshua Scroggin. I'm like, why is someone yelling my name? Like, this is getting worse.
Because your wallet came out.
No, my boarding passes were in the back pouch of the thing. And I didn't realize it. And they're like, I'm like, what are my boarding passes doing over there? Why does someone have my boarding pass? They brought them over. I'm like, oh, okay. And then, like, a minute later, somebody yells out, whose is this? And they held up a tablet.
It was your tablet.
It was my tablet.
Oh my God.
Like, wait a second. Where is all this? Why is all this stuff out of my bag? Well, apparently they sent it through the metal detector and it all fell out.
Oh my. And nobody gives a crap.
No. The person who sent it through didn't like put it back in, just left it there.
Couldn't care less.
Yeah. So then finally, like, most of my stuff got returned.
Did you get patted down too?
Yeah, I got the pat down, which was fine. You know, whatever. If you say I have residue, I'll do the thing. I know I don't have any, so it doesn't matter.
At least they didn't take
you
in a back room. At least they didn't take you in a back room.
Yeah. I was cooperative. I didn't have any beef or anything.
Honestly, because I travel so much for work, I actually skip the scanners. If it's just a straight, like,
you opt in for the pat down?
Opt out of the scanners.
Yeah.
Right. So
you're like the Wolverine. You know, that at the end of the Wolverine, he has his bones have metal fused around them, and he opts out of the metal detector.
Yeah, that's a good call. What you do. Yeah, I mean, the regular metal detector, like the old school ones, I'll go through.
Yeah.
But the scanners, where you gotta like hold your hands up like Triple H.
And you don't like doing that?
No.
You don't want people to see your pits?
Well, I want to be able to. Yeah, I don't trust it.
You have pit stains.
The old ones that were called like backscatter machines, and those ones had a level of radiation that was pretty high, and people would just go through them. And if you're a traveler that goes through, you know, that travels twice a month for 5 years, then you're getting an X-ray, you know, a ton of times, and that's not healthy for you either in terms of, you know, radiation, whatever, whatever.
Well, so, you were still able to have bear children, so
at least
good
one
job by you.
Yeah, so far. We'll see.
Good job by the little hurricanes.
Yay. But I opt out, and I mean, once you opt out of the scanner and you go for the pat down, which I recommend, you know, in terms of opting out, they say which is your stuff, and they bring it over. So I say, and I always have a ton of stuff. I travel with two computers a lot of the time. And I travel, you know, I have both of those out. I have my shoes. I have two bags, you know, so there's like five or six things in a row. I say, it's that thing through that thing. And they're like, you know, they got to get some help sometimes to carry it over, because I'm not allowed to carry it over.
Place I wasn't allowed to touch any of my stuff.
But at least I'm like eyeballing it the whole time. They're like, yep, keep it in your sight. You can see it over there, right? Yeah, okay, good. So at least they're
this was the problem.
They're mindful, right? Yeah, and people who don't give a crap, and that's kind of the bottom line. Is you go to the airport not expecting great customer service from anybody, and then you're not disappointed. That's the bottom line of that.
Well, anyways, to wrap up, because we're getting kind of long on this, like, I'm pretty sure people are bored with my airport stories, you know, whatever. But yeah, so it didn't really get weird until they started going through my bag item by item and asking me what things were. And I'm like, is this really part of the, like, is this part of the process? Like, you're supposed to ask me what things are? Like,
like your underpants? Like, what are these? What kind of explosive device do these hold?
Yeah. What kind of lubricant is this, sir? No, it was like, they were like, I went to the comic book store, so I got an action figure for my son. Cause that's part, also what, if I go to the store and I feel like I want to support that store, I usually get something for my
get
son.
Get a comic, get a action figure.
I get something for my son beyond just a normal comic book, floppy comic book. I try to get something, a collector item or something. So I got an action figure. So the guy's like pulling it out. He's like, what's this? I'm like, what?
Action figure?
It's an action figure for my son. And then she's like, well, what character is this? I'm like, really? Is this what?
Because that was what was packed with explosives. Yeah. The Incredible Hulk wasn't just.
Yeah, I'm like, do you really want to know? Like, is this part of the process?
The Hulk wasn't just packed with anger. He was packed with C4.
Yeah. Well, then I felt like a super geek because I'm like, this guy doesn't know, you know.
So were you schooling him?
No, I wasn't going to school him. It made me feel like a super dork.
Who was it? What action figure was it?
And see, now you want to know.
Yeah. I'm allowed to know.
No, I'm not going to go into
Is that too private?
Well, okay,
That's crossing the line between podcast life and private life.
No, it's not private. It's just like, nobody really wants to know. Nobody cares. Okay, if anyone cares, I'll say what it was.
I care, JD.
It was a Marvel Select Thanos 7-inch figure. And I collect 7-inch figures for my son. So I have a whole bunch of them. He's not old enough for them yet because it's 4 and above.
These are collector's items, right?
On some level. I'm buying them so he can play with them. I'm not buying them so he can keep them in the package and look at them.
Okay.
I'm buying them so he can take them out and play with them because they're dang cool.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. It was Thanos. And Thanos, if you don't know, is the bad guy who turns around at the mid-credits scene in the Avengers movie, which I'm sure everyone has seen. The mid-credits, there's a purple guy who turns around and like smiles at the camera. Yeah, that's Thanos. He's also one
of
the bad guys.
Thanos laugh?
Yeah, that was good. That was actually, that's how I picture him talking in the comics.
Right.
You did it perfectly. Maybe you can like record that and then I'll take it with me. And then when I read the comics, I can
play that.
Let's
get a clean version of it. I can't do it. Sorry.
Do it. That could be a drop.
Maybe that was
it.
Yeah, it was a little deeper. You're right.
No, you did good.
Okay.
So, anyways, he's also one of the bad guys in Guardians of the Galaxy, which a lot of people have seen because that movie is now the number one grossing domestic movie of the year.
Uh-huh. And well deserved.
Yes. I thought it was awesome.
I know a bunch of people who roll in the same circles as us. All talked about going together. Jenny and I ended up going because we'd never been to the Atascadero Theater before for the D-Box experience with the seats moving and stuff. Kind of interesting. Yeah. Takes a second to get used to. But pretty fun. Have you ever done that?
We should do movie reviews. Maybe not today because I'm sure we're getting kind of long. How much time do we have left?
We got about 5-10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got to do slow news day segment.
Okay. Yeah. That'll be right now.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Well.
Pod drop for slow news day. Slow news day.
Yeah. Is that the
Dateline, San Luis Obispo.
Yes. So every week we do this, I'm going to try and bring up some sort of news story from San Luis Obispo.
You should know it because you work for the newspaper.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I don't know. Did you hear about this? This is the one I want to choose today. Here's the headline. Woman smacked by giraffe after entering Wisconsin Zoo exhibit. Pardon me. Slow woman. This woman is from Slow.
And she's probably slow.
Well, I don't know about all that. I'm not going to make any, you know, comments on her, you know, mental health.
I mean, speed-wise, she can't get away from a giraffe.
Like, she doesn't run fast?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You didn't mean, like, slow in the head.
No.
You meant...
Come on, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, slow.
All right.
Slow running.
Yes, okay. Gotcha. Well, we got to get our slows correct here.
S-L-O-W.
If we're going to be using slow as our, you know...
S-L-O woman.
Yes. Slow woman. S-L-O. So did you hear about this?
Yeah, I saw it in the paper, but it never said which zoo. And so even in the subtitle, like the subheader, the teasers never said which zoo. And I thought to myself, if they're not going to tell me which zoo it is, I'm not clicking on it. So
it was a zoo.
I was mad at the headline writer.
Whoever. It was a zoo in Madison, Wisconsin.
Which so is does a great that change town. Your, does which that, is a great town.
Does that intrigue you anymore?
Not anymore or any less. I just would have liked to have known before I clicked on the story and spent my 3 minutes reading it. So tell me the story here.
Okay, I'll give you the gist. So this woman from San Luis Obispo, her name's Amanda Hall. I'm calling out names.
Amanda Hall?
Yes, 24 of San Luis Obispo. Yeah. And I read Amanda Hall of 24 of San Luis Obispo, and I immediately think, like, hey, I've been here since 2006.
Did she play any sports when she was in high school?
Did she play any sports? Did I cover her in any sports?
Because right, you could have.
Did she go to Cal Poly? I could have.
You wouldn't remember.
I didn't recognize her face when I looked at the you know.
But unless her name was, like, Dylan Royer, it would be hard to remember, like,
all you never know. You sometimes, like, you know,
weird
a face will pop up and you're like, oh, I remember that person.
Yeah,
like, and it's weird. There was a this is interesting. You know, Jesse P, our friend of the show, plays softball, and one of the girls on one of the softball teams I filled in on one time, I covered her when she was in high school, and I didn't really remember her much by name because Jesse had told me her name and I didn't really remember it at all. Then when I saw her in person, when we showed up at the game, you were there. You were on the team.
Okay. Yeah, from remember? Templeton.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alex Cordell was her name.
Yeah.
And when I saw her in person, I remembered, oh my God, I remember her now. She sang the national anthem at a playoff game that I went to. I remembered like all this stuff about that team and her that I didn't remember hearing the name. So like you see the face and sometimes you like
it all get comes more. Back.
Yeah. I saw this woman's mugshot and I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't remember her. So but Amanda Hall, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, she could have been.
How do you get, what did it say? Pushed, kicked.
Well, here, I'll tell you. So anyways, this woman, 24 of San Luis Obispo, she climbed over at least one small fence to get to the giraffe enclosure. And she put like leaves or something up for the giraffe to lick. She said the giraffe licked the leaves and then kicked her in the face. So this is a 2-year-old giraffe that's 12 feet tall.
Straight gangsta.
Was able to lick her and then kick her in the face. She needed 10 stitches below her lip afterwards. But the point of contention, which is like the really interesting thing to this whole thing, was she got arrested, or I don't know if arrested, but she got ticketed for going into this
enclosure. Uh-huh.
Yeah, which first of all, like, hello.
You're at a zoo.
Don't go in the zoo.
Enclosure.
You know, enclosure. Yeah. Hello.
There's people. A fence there for a reason.
Yes. And I'm not talking to you, Owen. I'm talking to anyone who's listening. Don't be dumb and go into a zoo cage.
I think you've just hit the moral of the story, JD. Don't be dumb.
Yes. Don't go into any zoo animal's cage and
not expect to get kicked in the face.
No, not even just not expect to get. Just don't go. Just don't do it.
Haven't you seen Anchorman?
Yes. No, but like there was, remember a few years ago?
I can picture this lady landing. I immediately regret this decision. Yes.
Well, wasn't there like 5 or 6 years ago, there was some people who went too close to like a tiger cage and the tiger jumped out and bit their face off?
Yeah, in San Francisco.
Is that? Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah. And it was like,
it killed like 4 people.
Yeah, and the zoo was like a villain, you know.
Well, the zoo didn't have the fence high enough. The people weren't in the fence, but they were. I feel like the tiger like reached through and got one person, and then it jumped the fence.
Well, they were annoying the tiger.
Right,
they were egging it on, and then it jumped on them.
Don't egg on the tiger unless it's in like a completely enclosed cage. If there's
don't
no
even
roof,
do it then.
If there's no roof, just leave it alone.
Just be a solid bro. You know, like don't antagonize the animals.
Be a solid bro.
Don't antagonize the animals. Don't go in their cages.
Okay.
Period. So that said, let's move on. This is the interesting thing. She got ticketed for this thing, and it was like a $600 ticket or something like that. I'm trying to look for it. I don't have it right directly in front of me, but she got ticketed and she disputed the ticket. She tried to say that because she loves animals. That was one thing. And number one. And number two, she tried to say that because she got kicked in the face, that was punishment enough where she shouldn't have to pay the fine for animal disturbance or whatever like the actual crime was.
Yeah, listen, if a judge wanted to say that, I wouldn't have a problem with it. You got kicked in the face and you deserved it, so that's punishment enough. But let's pay the $600 too. I think we need deterrence, and not that $600 is going to deter her from doing it again, but at least then, you know, you can actually pay to feed the giraffe for a couple days maybe.
Yeah, here's her quote. She says, I got hit in the face by a giraffe. I had to deal with all that. That was a lot of pain to deal with already. I don't need a fine and this on my record.
Because that means I won't be able to go to other zoos. Yeah. Like, dumb.
So she's dumb. Like trying.
Was she just visiting Madison? Does she live there now?
I don't know the full backstory.
That's the other thing. Like, I don't. Why was she there? Was she there just for this one giraffe?
She was there to cause trouble.
Do you know what color giraffes' tongues are?
Purple or blue?
Purple. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's trivia. Right. Trivia time.
Purple. That was my AM radio voice.
Let's hear it again.
Purple.
Ooh, that was very quiet. It was very quiet and somewhat suggestive.
So this woman is purporting, like, I don't like the suggestion here. She's like, she's basically trying to say that if I get hurt and injured in the, you know, process of committing a crime, I shouldn't have to pay the real world, like, judicial consequences.
No, you're dumb. You commit a crime. You're dumb. You pay all the money.
Yeah,
you're dumb.
She's trying to say, like, I got kicked in the face by a giraffe. That's good enough punishment.
Not good enough punishment.
Well, think about it this way. Maybe we should rethink some of our, like, laws and punishment. You know, like, maybe what if we just say for crimes now, or maybe what she's trying to say is you commit a crime, you go in front of the giraffe. The giraffe gets to kick you in the face.
And you're good.
And you just deal with whatever consequences that might be. You might die.
Right.
You might just get a couple stitches.
I'd love to.
Would you sign on for that?
No, I'd pay $600 and go on my happy way.
Okay, but what if you got busted for murder? Okay, and maybe you didn't do it. I'm not saying you're guilty.
Okay.
But maybe you didn't do it, but they have, you know, they trumped up DNA evidence and the jury is definitely.
If it was a giraffe kicking me in the face or life in prison, then I'd take a giraffe kicking me in the face. Yes.
Like, but you might die.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You could die.
Because
giraffes can kick you in the face.
Because I could also go like Matrix and like just take a
glancing blow. No, no, no. You can't move.
I could just take a glancing
blow. No, you can't move. You have to take it. That would be the rule. You have to get kicked by the giraffe. You can't move or dodge.
I'd have to
see. You can't duck, dive, dip, dodge, and. Whatever.
Duck.
Yeah.
Dodge, dive.
Yeah.
Dip,
whatever it is.
Duck.
You can't do
dodge.
Any of that. You have to just dodge get kicked. Twice. You take it like a man or a woman. Like, you just take it.
Yeah.
You can't move.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be sexist here.
I wanna watch a giraffe kick somebody first. I wanna see a video of it.
I wish there was video of this one.
I wanna see the normal range of a giraffe kick, small to large, and then I'll make my decision.
Here's what it says here. Hall disputed the allegations. See, the allegations were that she crawled into this.
Yes, she crawled in.
She wasn't supposed to be there. She says that she didn't. She was just leaning over the fence.
And fell. But then she fed the giraffe.
See if you can picture this in your mind of how this happened.
Good God.
She didn't fall. Here's how she says how it happens. She says she easily stepped over a 3-foot-high gate-like barrier and did not climb the second fence. Apparently there was like a...
How did she get in there then?
Well, there was two fences. There was like a little wooden picket fence.
But how did
thing,
she
I'm
get
sure.
into the second inside the second fence? Did
well,
she
this
not?
Is what she says. She says she didn't. She said that she easily stepped over the 3-foot-high gate-like barrier and did not climb the second fence. She said the giraffe put its head through a gap in the fence and ate some grass out of her hand.
Okay.
Quote, "He had some grass and nuzzled my head," Hall said. "He licked me and then I got a kick to the chin. It was a shock." Can you picture how it's described that way?
That's a ninja giraffe, dude. Through the fence.
How the heck is the giraffe? This is 12-foot-tall giraffe.
Yeah.
How is this giraffe licking her and then
she's
karate kicking her in the face? Yeah.
She's a giraffe stalker.
Like from here to there. Like, how do you go from here to there in your mind?
The giraffe's a ninja, or there's a second giraffe on the grassy knoll.
Possible.
Yeah.
It was two giraffes.
Two giraffes. It was a giraffe conspiracy.
Well, the way that it's being explained here, I don't understand how the giraffe can lick grass out of her hand and then immediately kick her in the face. I don't understand the physics of this.
I'm sickened by people like this. I gotta say, like, follow the rules, people. I'm not like the biggest rule follower in the world, but I kind of am. And with stuff like this, there's just no reason to be dumb. So don't be dumb. Don't be dumb.
Yeah.
Don't
so dumb. You didn't answer. If you were up for murder. And
I want to see giraffes. I want to see giraffes kick.
I need to
see how it goes.
The prosecutors have you dead to rights. You're going down whether you did it or not. Would you opt into? You opt out of the
probably.
You opt into the pat down.
Probably, I'd opt into the giraffe kick.
Would you opt into giraffe kick? It could kill you gruesomely. Or you could just get 10 stitches.
Because how good is life in prison? Not good. Yeah.
Okay.
I take the giraffe.
Do you think that would be good to institute?
No.
A good policy to institute giraffe kicks.
Because I don't think it would kill enough people to make it a. I think you'd start to see the stats and people would roll the dice. People would roll the dice, I think.
And then they'd be back out on the streets with 10 stitches.
You got it. And they'd be murderers. So, no. I disagree with that idea.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, what animal would you vote for?
Would like I be most?
If there was an option to take an animal and you had to fight an animal, you had to take at least one blow from an animal. God. Or well, go like to the, or go to prison for the rest of your life.
The worst one would be like polar bear.
What's the animal that you would
least like to be in?
With? No. What's the animal that in your mind?
A dog.
What animal dog. Would bring justice to society? If we said this animal is now going to represent, you know, justice, which animal would it be?
Probably a bear.
Okay, so probably if you take a shot from a bear,
like a claw to the face, or something.
You take a shot from a bear, you can and live. You can walk away
like 10 seconds, and then the bear freezes,
and that's time served.
Like the bear mauls you for 10 seconds, and then you freeze, and then you're good.
10 seconds of bear mauling,
maybe.
And
five.
If you survive it, you get to. That's your
maybe.
Time served.
I don't know. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but what
you
do you think?
Have to see somebody maul a bear. First.
Yeah, I'm sure I want to see a video of it.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Get mauled by a bear. Yeah, exactly. So, speaking of bears, there's bears in the north part of the country, and you're headed there this week, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So I'll be seeing you up there in Sioux Falls, and what's the town it's
Brookings,
in?
Brookings, South Dakota.
I want to call it Billings, but that's in Montana.
Yeah, that's in Montana.
Brookings, South
Brookings,
Dakota.
Correct.
For South Dakota State, who has an open air stadium. I know North Dakota or North Dakota State plays in a dome, I think, or maybe it's South Dakota. One of those schools plays in a dome, at least.
North Dakota definitely plays in a dome,
like Northern Arizona.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a bigger basketball arena is what it reminded me of when we were there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But
this one's
South
outdoors.
South Dakota State is outdoors.
Have you been there before?
I have been there before.
Are they the Jackrabbits?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was there in 2008.
Because they used to be in the Great West?
No.
Which one used to be in the Great West? Which one of the Dakotas?
North Dakota.
North Dakota was in
and
the Great West.
South Dakota.
Okay.
South Dakota went to the Missouri Valley Conference.
And the dominant.
And that's where South Dakota State is.
And the dominant team is.
North Dakota State.
North Dakota State. That's
correct.
The one that's been dominant the last few years.
Yes.
Right.
They've won.
Beat Sam Houston
National
State.
Championships
right.
in a row. Yes.
Right. Okay.
So
we're talking about South Dakota State.
It was
here.
Cold there, too, at South Dakota State. The last time I remember being there.
It was probably a little later in.
It was open air press box. It was cold. I think it was 2008. It was the year they had Ramses Barden.
But it was probably a little later in the season. Probably wasn't like early September.
It wasn't the first week or the second week, probably.
Right. It was probably like October.
Yeah. It was a little bit later. It was colder. Here's what I remember about it. It was the bow hunting opener that weekend. So there was. So the attendance took a hit because there was a lot of people there who were out hunting.
I went with a bow. Did you ever see that John Rocker, like Saturday Night Live?
No. Did you see John Rocker? Isn't he supposed to be on like Survivor or something coming up? Did you see
I'm
that?
John Rocker. I went with a bow.
Yeah. Did you see that? John Rocker's like on the new Survivor.
Oh God. I don't need to watch that.
No. I'm not going to watch it either, but I was just shocked. I was like, how is this guy still around?
He is
what
the
does
guy
he do for work?
He's the guy that Eastbound and Down was basically made out of. Like that's John Rocker.
That's who it's based on.
That's who
on?
It's based on.
Did he get any royalties from that?
No.
He was in baseball for quite a while, but I don't think he was like a high top paid player for more
no,
than a couple
No, he was
years.
A relief pitcher. I think he got maybe one good contract, but that's the whole like Eastbound and Down premise there. Yeah.
Yeah, well how does he make his money other than being on Survivor?
I think it's just John Rocker.
Well,
I bet he
pays
doesn't
him
make
for
that,
that
much money. I bet he doesn't make that much money. That's why he's going on Survivor.
Well, he's still. I saw a promo.
That's why
picture
these guys
of
do this stuff.
I saw a promo picture of it, and he looked pretty big and ripped and stuff.
Did he?
Like yeah, like you have to be. You have to have some money to stay in good shape.
You think?
Yeah, because you have to buy workout equipment or buy a gym membership at the very least, if not like a personal trainer and protein bars.
Don't just wrestle gators.
Nah, you can't. No, he looked like in good. You know, physical condition.
Interesting. Maybe he could still pitch. Maybe he's trying to make this as a way to get
back
into the majors. Yeah.
He's writing the next season when they revive Eastbound and Down on like Netflix originals or Amazon Prime.
Danny McBride is awesome in that. That's a good show. So we might do a show from the Dakotas. It's a possibility.
We should.
It might be a Fansmanship podcast. It might be a Hurricane and Scroggs podcast. We might do one of each. You never really know with what's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to it, and I'll see how this weekend turns out.
Dang
hopefully,
right.
Hopefully a little less depressing than the previous weekending game, like flat.
Oh, depressing for Cal Poly?
Yeah, that game was just flat. That whole game, the second half was just bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Do we see another quarterback next week? Go. Do we see Dano start? Yes or no?
No, Chris. I just came from practice, and Chris Brown is still number one on the depth chart.
Okay. And Tim Walsh made a really interesting comment, and since we're not going to put another one out before the game, I'll just say this. He talked about play calling, how that hurt them in the second half. Is he going to call the plays at any point? Is he still
not? I don't believe so.
No.
I mean, he's not going to call the plays from the field.
I've never heard him say something like that in terms of play calling, like directly calling out something like that. Chris Brown stayed in the game through the fourth quarter, into the fourth quarter, so it wasn't like he was blaming Brown for what was happening either, because otherwise Graves would have come in for how close he said they were.
Yeah, well, I think it was clear that there was some issues with adjusting to New Mexico State's adjustments. So I mean that's play calling,
right?
And execution,
right?
I mean, he called out both,
right? Well, and the fullback got zero carries in the second half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought. And you had New Mexico State was, putting pressure on the outside. So you'd think maybe go up the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, what do I know?
I don't know anything,
right,
to be honest.
So. Exactly. So, but I was tweeting that like I did know. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Who knows? I'm looking forward to seeing it this week, seeing if those adjustments can be made. Anything else today?
No.
All right.
I think it was a good one in the can.
In the can. Numero yes. dos.
Numero dos.
I'll let you sign us off.
All right.
Since you signed us on.
Well, hey, to sign us off, I got to mention all our links. So if you like Hurricane and Scroggs and you want to follow us on Twitter, you can find me at twitter.com/slowcollegebeat. That's at SLO College Beat. You can find Owen Main at Fansmanship. That's twitter.com/fansmanship. Where else can you find us, Owen?
You have a Rebel Mouse page.
Yes, rebelmouse.com/JD Scroggin. And of course, fansmanship.com, where you can listen to all of the great podcasts from the fansmanship.com podcast network.
That's right. And we're efforting. We're waiting for iTunes to okay our podcast currently. Also, we'll get it up on Stitcher, we hope, which has been a good medium, a good podcasting app for our other podcasts. So we'll look forward to that. I definitely recommend Stitcher in terms of a podcasting app to download. And so there you go.
Yeah, and if you want more from me, it's at sanluisobispo.com, where you get all your Cal Poly coverage. Yes, the Tribune, sanluisobispo.com, sanluisobispo.com/sports. So thanks for joining us live from San Luis Obispo, Hurricane in the Scroggs,
on the Fansmanship Podcast Network. Walmart, big on my holy shit. Hit the store for party essentials, scented candles and damn stentals. Fashionably late, I'm never tardy, 'cause guess what, bitches? This is how I party. Sleep is for pussies, so I keep going. I give a lap dance to leave from these towing. Then it's time for indoor soccer, with the lights off in the storage locker. Next day sex, no STDs, oh, yes. Gotta keep it on lockdown. Banker, please. Sit in a koozie till we get pruney. Rehearse lines from films with George Clooney. Schmeal my head with macaroni and cheese. Then I get it licked off by my Maltese. Oh, yes. I fill my fish tank with pure Bacardi, 'cause guess what, fishes? This is how I party. Ha!